You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hey, and welcome to this week's FX PhD OD, and it's our first one of 2008. Mike, Happy New Year, my friend. How are things?
It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, I've been well enjoying the break. Actually, you know, it's amazing. It's one of these things. I think they call it the frog boiling phenomenon. When you're in the middle of it, as the temperature slowly rises, you're not clever enough to jump out and save your skin. But if you were to jump into the same hot bed of friggin' emails and problems, you'd immediately react and do something to save your life. And that certainly sums it up for me, that having been forced to take a couple of weeks off, I now come back with a completely different attitude to life. I didn't realize how bad I was when I left, if that makes sense. It had crept up on me.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Just for your information, in this, I would in fact be a frog in boiling water.
Yes, just to relate the story correctly. What would I be? Another frog.
The guy is the bastard conducting the experiments, putting frogs in boiling water.
Hey.
That'd make you a Frenchman. Sorry.
Yes. Anyway, yes, it was good probably for you to... You did pop on during the break and check things out, but over the holidays, of course, we introduced the full course lineup that we gave hints about. Before heading off into you to northerly regions and me out to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And I got to say, it was hilarious on January 1st getting the course information stuff up on the site.
Didn't somebody tell you?
Yes. Yes, we actually had a full suite of FX PhD postgrads. So I signed into the IRC chat room and the forums, of course, in the morning as I was hooking this up on New Year's Day, albeit a bit hungover, I have to admit. Getting the course listing up, because it just takes some time to get the course listing together, descriptions, yada, yada, the misspellings, whatever. And as I'm doing this, I'm watching the chat room and the forums, and people are posting that they discovered our link for where the actual courses were. So before I'd made it live and before I'd changed all the links, people had actually guessed the URL and were checking out the course listings ahead of time, which, you know, I actually found really both... really cool that people were excited about seeing information about the term, and also, quite frankly, a bit disturbing that people would go to such lengths to discover the links. And at one point, I really considered changing the entire course listing to say something like, at the last minute, due to circumstances beyond our control, FX PhD has decided to take one full term off before continuing.
You are absolutely bastard.
Just to see. Well, no, wait. That's their fault for checking the forums. I'm sorry. It's not, you know, if you're going to go or checking the links.
I'm sorry. I love Americans. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
You're blaming calling me that. It's like, no. It's called the just reward, I think, or whatever it's called. Just dessert or something like that. Just desserts, something like that. Anyway, it was quite amusing. But yeah, it was really nice to hear the response to the overall lineup, because as we've talked about in past terms, Mike and I freak out. I would say that's probably not an understatement, at least from my standpoint, trying to make sure that our courses are at least at the level as what they were the term before, and if not, try and exceed expectations. I know we're both on pins and needles.
And you keep on upping the expectation bar, so exceeding them each time becomes increasingly more difficult, right? Now, next term, we'll have Moses teaching how to do
it. Yes.
instructions for users in tablet form.
I told Mike that my mood actually increased tremendously on the first of the year after seeing the response in the forum. So we're glad to that. And now we'll just make sure that we deliver the high quality for some of the courses. Now, we talked about quite a few of the courses last term. On our last podcast.
Not all of them.
But not all of some of the cool new ones we've got coming. Where should we start? What are you thinking?
Let's start with an unusual one, which is our IT course.
Yes. I think that's going to be good. And you actually, posted about that last term to kind of gauge response into what people wanted to hear and see in that course. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the course, I guess, because you and Patrick are going to be doing it.
Yeah, mainly Patrick, which lets me all sorts of opportunities for making wisecracks, like post guy Pat. Anyway, so Pat's going to do it, and he's incredibly experienced in setting up for major facilities as an IT kind of guru. So everything from render farms to operating systems to backup procedures to getting servers and stuff to work. And he types Unix faster than any man living. So what we thought was, well, it'd be kind of cool if we had somebody that was able to provide kind of a run through on isn't anywhere else. Like, I mean, some stuff, obviously, you know, general stuff about Windows or Mac is, but not the sort of stuff about how you set up a render farm and, you know, some of the current practices and what's the deal and, you know, the gotchas to watch out for. And there are some interesting new technologies coming along, as there always are, things like, well, the Final Cut Server, right, will be coming out soon, and there's just a whole bunch of interesting stuff. And so we've been pondering about this for a while, and then we thought, why don't we just do a whole course on that? And I sounded people out in the forums, and I basically got a pretty good response because I think a lot of people are having to survive without what we'd call an engineering department. Going back a couple of years, you used to always have a big engineering department, and now that role has been sort of dissipated. You've got a few IT guys, you've got a few guys doing data wrangling, but it's kind of hard to, you know, have one dedicated space that's really aimed at answering questions for our industry, as opposed to, well, this is what they do in the banking industry, this is what they do in, you know, services. And so we wanted to make it, you know, a sort of, I don't know, really, like a, it's not really a 300 level course, it's certainly not that hard, and it's not quite a 100 level, it's a 200 mid course that's going to cover a range of stuff, but it should be good. And the way we thought we'd do it, it's like, well, how do we go about, you know, tackling this subject of all these bits and pieces all throughout the facility? And we thought, what if we built a facility? What if we established as our guess, I want to, to, you know, build a new facility, and Pat's going to sort out all of the infrastructure issues with doing that. And then we can work our way through all the bits of the jigsaw puzzle from start to finish. And so that's what basically we're going to do.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, too, in the kind of responses to the class. You could see that in the forum post that there was a lot of interest in it. And actually, those who probably were less interested in were those who are already maybe in large facilities. It seemed like an overwhelming people, as is the trend in the business, it seems, is setting up these smaller satellite facilities because honestly, the cost of entry barriers are so much lower that it's the knowledge level that is the cost of entry now versus the technology as much, I would guess, nowadays.
Yeah, and I think it's just good to be able to also, if you're in that course, just have Pat available during the term to ask questions, right? Like, you know what, I've just had to... You know, I just wondered, for example, like what issues are with trying to get, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, a fly-in system, you know, communicating effectively with a whatever system. And so he's going to have a lot of the answers to a lot of those questions because he basically goes into facilities and has for a number of years now setting up high-end systems. So he's not coming from like a PC background. He isn't some guy that was really hot on a PC and sort of graduated up. I mean, he started with Onyxes and has been working his way down, if that makes sense. Plus, he's a kind of hip guy who's cool to hang out with, so it should be good.
Yeah, and you can, yeah. Dear Pat, where do you get those fancy clothes that make you look so stylish? No, I'm just... never mind. You'll understand when you watch the courses. He's one of the most stylish men I know.
As opposed to us, right?
As opposed to me, that's what I was going to say. Check out me and my sweat jackets in the last couple of DB Rebel courses, which, you know, by the way, was a gift from you. Actually, very nice gift.
Well, I thought there was something wrong with that thing.
It's pretty cool. But it's not Pat. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
No. But then Pat isn't married with kids and doesn't have like my issues about
or mine.
Disposable household GDP. Well, you just have a life, right? So that's you never get out.
Hey, one of the courses that we gave a clue about in our podcast before the holidays was the return of one of our most revered professors. And, of course, that is Tal Naran, who's coming back and is going to do a cool, what we're calling a Shake course, but it's really Shake and Nuke and Maya and Bujo and Mocha. I think it's going to be great. And Mike, you know Tal's been one of our favorite profs over the years.
Well, yeah, Tal the rock star.
Yeah, so we're totally excited about this. And
I think somebody in the forums actually posted saying, I don't care what Tal's teaching in this course anyway.
I'm going to take it. And they were like, huh? It's like, you obviously haven't taken one of his courses before. But Tal took a couple terms off. I think he was working on, a feature, Mike?
Is that right? You're working on a feature here in Sydney, actually.
Yeah, and so he needed that time to get back and do production, which I think is great because, again, we like having people who have been working in hardcore jobs and actually doing working in the field as opposed to just teaching. So teaching and doing production. And I think this course is going to be great. It's going to take a look at, you know, all the practical or a lot of the advanced, really hardcore, practical day-to-day stuff that compositors do. You know, you might use Shake one day. You might be doing some stuff in Nuke or Buju, tracking in Buju or Mocha or something like that.
Like,
or Flame,
you know, we were doing stuff on Sarah Jane where he'd be like, can you just track this using Flames Tracker and give me a couple of dots? Because, you know, Flames Tracker is so good for a two-point track. And, you know, you're just not about sort of promoting one equipment manufacturer's product over another. It's just about whatever it takes to get the job done, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, that's what it's like. You know, like last night I had a problem and I just, it was a weird thing. It was really simple. We had problems with it in, I think, After Effects. I said, you know what, just give it to me in Flame. I'll get this done, give it back to you. Just drop it in the cut.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's a natural thing. So I think this is going to be great. And again, Tal's course has been really well received. It's going to be about compositing, about the workflow, not about the application per se, because again, it's about the craft and not about the software and tools. So it's going to be fantastic. So if you're had experience in Shake or Nuke, Photoshop, and even 3D application knowledge level, this course is for you. I mean, if you haven't taken Nuke before, you know, first check out the 100 or 200 level courses of Nuke. But again, I think you'll pick up stuff, even if he's working in Nuke and you know Shake, or if he's working Shake and you know Nuke, I think you'll pick up stuff because a lot of the stuff is going to be technique versus application based. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be taking it. I will be auditing it, as they say. So that's going to be great. Again, he's going to be focusing on using some of that iPod, the iPhone Lexus spot that we shot in the October 07 term. He's going to be carrying over using that footage in the upcoming term as well. So again, several of the courses are going to be using that in addition to some of the footage from I Love Sarah Jane, the short film that we worked on that's actually being shown at Sundance here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I think the reality is that we were trying last term, and you know, I guess in previous terms, to film and post a job inside a single term, and that came from the fact that we knew ourselves that we could do the job that way. Like if we had nothing else on, right?
Right.
We could film something and then post it within a 2 month period, and it would get finished, and it seemed the natural thing to do. But the reality is, when we start including the students and getting data out to them and packaging it in a way that makes sense for them, we kind of need a period between the shoot and sending stuff out to know what it is we need to send out, and so. Otherwise, we'd just be sending out gigabytes of stuff to everybody. So what we're sort of discovering now is that we're going to have rolling shoots and rolling material going to you guys. There'll be constantly new material. But it may be, for example, that a shoot that we do this term isn't fully finished this term and is in next term. And that won't make any difference in one sense, because once you fill up the pipeline, right, there's constantly new stuff coming. But what it does mean is that, it's going to be... certainly in the case for me, that stuff I shoot this term won't actually be probably finished until next term.
Yeah, the reality is it just takes time to do. I mean, it takes time to do the rough cut, takes time to prep all the files. By the time you do that, to get it to the professors, because actually the professors have to come up and do the comp themselves, and that takes time, right? It takes them a little while to work through the footage, get what they need. If they need CG passes or something like that, they have to get that done. So it does just take a lot of time to do. And again, we sent out all the sent out all the iPhone Lexus footage this term, but again, we'll be using that in addition to the I Love Sarah Jane stuff in even coming terms down the road, maybe not even just this term, but even future ones as well. So that'll be great. And speaking of shooting, Mike, you've got a cool Red course coming up as well.
One of the really interesting things with the Red camera that has only been recently enabled is the time-lapse stuff, or stuff whereby you can trigger shoot stuff so you can actually fire off frames, pretty much like you could with a film camera, right? Now, there are obviously stills cameras that can be rigged to do this, and then there are some video cameras that have some mechanisms for doing this, but nothing quite as much fun as the Red. So what we decided to do, and not because it's the only thing you can do with the Red, just because it would be a fun thing to do with the Red. Right. We're going to do a bunch of really cool, what I'm going to call stop frame animation type stuff, which I'm going to get into when we're talking in the Red course. But it's going to be filming some really cool, funky stuff, which I hope will end up as a killer kind of YouTube video. Because if you look at the sort of scope of things that we've done, we've been doing stuff that's, honestly, the range is we've had stuff that we've done, we nominated for major awards. We've got stuff that we've done that's in major film festivals. We figured, why not do something cool that would be the sort of thing that would go heavily on YouTube, right? And just be, you know, funky and wild and hopefully a bit imaginative. And so we came up with this really elaborate thing. I'm not saying it's completely original in the sense that, you know, everything's derivative, but I just think it's going to be a load of fun. And we're not deliberately ripping anyone off, but obviously there's been a lot of stop-frame animation done over the years, so I'm waiting for somebody to come up with a obscure reference to a, you know, Korean ad that did something similar. and I'm totally out there that that's probably the case, but I'm not going for a creative award for originality. I'm going for just a very funny, very complex kind of compositing stop motion thing, but using people. And we're doing some tests on that. In fact, last night, you find this amusing, John, at about 10 o'clock, we finished up doing some film out stuff for Sundance. And we set the Red camera up while that was happening, and it's put it on time lapse and then left. And, of course, didn't get into the office this morning until about 9:30. It was just basically taking time-lapse all throughout the night so that it would film the dawn, right? Because we thought that would be a nice dawn shot. And we don't have to bother coming to the office at dawn to set it up, right? We'll just let it run overnight. And for the first, you know, several hours, it's taking a frame every 5 seconds through pitch black. But at some point, right, the sun will come up. Little did we know that this morning would be the grayest, bleakest day with just fog everywhere. And I swear to God, the time lapse of the sun coming up just looks like you've taken a still and got to dissolve out of black. Like, there's nothing moving in the sky because it's just cloudless, gray, blank. And there are no lights moving and there's no traffic. It's just what I would describe in a word as disappointing. But having said that, we've got some other really cool time lapses we've already taken down at the water, watching the waves come in and stuff, which is very funny as well because Jimmy was sitting there going, how long do we have to stand here for? And I'm going, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. And he goes, what, without touching anything? And I'm like, yep. Welcome to my world of pages. I started in stop frame animation and in time-lapse stuff, so I love doing that stuff.
So
we'll discuss that in the Red course, and we'll be filming for that and doing cool stuff. But also just at a production level, we're going to do things like working out a budget for a Red job, right? Like, you know, how should you budget the job? What are the things you need to allow for? Because unlike Tal's course per se, I'm going to try and cover more the production side of things. Just solely about, you know, solving the comp, and more solidly about what do I need for this shot to come off? What do I need to book when I book a Red camera? It's not enough just to get a camera and a lens. I need other bits and pieces and gear, and how am I going to handle the video split, and what's the client going to look at, and all those sort of issues.
Yeah, now, one other thing that we want to mention is that a couple questions in the forums is that we're offering the Red Production Workflow 1 course, the Red 201 course. We made a note that's updated for 08, and that doesn't mean that if you took this course in October that you should be taking this course again. The idea is that things are changing so rapidly with the Red software, and even workflow and the Red finishing workflow and so forth, that it's kind of a moving target. So there are going to be a couple different additional drop-ins for stuff that's changed within the last couple months or even during the term, updating the information that might happen to be in one of the classes, which is a rerun from the October 07 term. So it's not an entirely new course, but the idea behind it is that maybe in a couple of the courses, when there's new stuff that's happened, we'll throw in a little update about that.
I think audio is a good example, right?
Yeah, that is.
Anything on audio last time because there wasn't any audio, right? Now we're happily, you know, sticking in things and discovering, guess what, you know, there are some issues with audio. It is a whole new beast, and there'll be another one later in the term, because by the end of January we'll actually be swapping our camera for the new PL mount version, which will make it camera 22X, I think, or 22A, or there's some number that they're going to etch on the end of it to say that it's the new version. And so, yeah, we'll be able to go through all that and show people the, you know, what's different on the new cameras, and in the lead up, of course, to you know, all the changes that will be happening. Because the end of this term is basically NAB, right?
Right.
April. And the next term starts
in April, and there'll be some interesting things in NAB. So we want to basically finish out updating the camera, and you know, if it transpires that it changes all again in the April term, we may do the same thing again. We may just update the course.
I mean, stuff
again,
is changing from class 3 to 10. I mean, we're not talking class 3 to 6, I guess I would say. So it is, you know, and that's one of the good things that we're able to do, having the camera in-house and being involved and helping those guys out at Red as well, able to get some advance notice of some of that stuff too.
I got to say, I really like working with the Red guys. They're
really great,
so open to, yeah, it's really, really nice.
Fantastic.
I mean, I've got a good relationship with a number of the equipment manufacturers and the camera guys, and they're a good bunch of people generally. But I guess in particular with the Red, and we think we've mentioned this before, they're just very open to collaborating with people, and we, you know, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, they really are. Actually, we have been great with most everyone. But again, it reminds me of the early days of a small and growing company, which is exactly what Red is, I would guess as well. So that's it. And again, on the homepage, there's a link to descriptions of all the articles. Several of the courses, or numerous courses, actually have rundowns of class by class of what we project is going to be in the course, at least for the new ones. We try and leave ourselves open to that, open to input from the postgrads and people taking the course during the term. If they'd like to see something, maybe we'll juggle around those courses and maybe rearrange them if it speaks. But again, I think we'll give you a really good idea of what we're covering in the courses. And on top of that, of course, everyone gets to preview the first 2 weeks of every single course at FXPhD before picking. So I think that's a great, I have to say, I think that's a great feature. A lot of people have appreciated that, of being able to check out the courses before committing. Because I know people go, you guys got so many courses, I can't pick and choose, I can't decide what to do. And our aim is to really help you do that.
And as a return favor, we need you guys to spread the word, because Christmas and New Year has meant that things are a bit quiet in, you know, online. Generally, between Christmas and New Year, they're quiet everywhere on the web. So what we don't want to have happen is that we lose some momentum in the January term, because we're coming back from Christmas and people are like, haven't, you know, heard about what we're doing and stuff. So, you know, we ask you openly, if you can, to spread the word. And, you know, we don't want you to say anything you don't feel comfortable with, but it is obviously a really good thing just to remind people that the term is starting, and we've already had a bunch of people that have been posting stuff around the web, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, and I would say in context, too. I mean, if there's ever a hint of what we like, I mean, we kind of don't like just the, you know, overt commercial post, I guess. You know,
oh,
what
no,
I mean?
Totally, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like you see a thread, you know, it's applicable to mention. And based upon our feedback, we've gotten a lot of, other than Effects Guide, we've gotten a lot of great links from other forums and posts from other postgrads. And hey, Mike, I guess I should mention, too, that Mike and I talked about, actually over the weekend, I think, this idea, too. We had this referral bonus in the past, where if you refer, you can refer up to 5 new members to FXPhD. In other words, people who haven't been a member of FXPhD in the past, and you can get a free course for each of those 5, up to 5 people. The thing is, if you, we actually had some people who referred over 10 people last term to us by posting on their website, something like that, which I think is just brilliant. And for those people, actually, we decided that if you post, we did the cutoff at 8, actually. If you send us 8 new members and they provide your name when they sign up, we'll actually give you a free term next term. So, not an extra course. From the start, we'll give you a free course term for, what would it be? April 08 term, I guess. And again, if you want any information about that, there's a post called FXPhD Referral Bonus in the Student Union section of the lounge. So, again, hopefully that'll, you know, again, we kind of wanted to give thanks in a lot of ways to people who do posts like that, because we really appreciate it. That word of mouth, as Mike said, is fantastic for us. Ooh, and actually, yeah, one of the postgrads is actually going to make little animated little FXPhD banners as well that you can post on your site, linking to FXPhD as well, which was really great. Carbon Girl, you may know her in the forums.
You may know Carbon Girl from such great posts as.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we appreciate her volunteering to do that.
There's some action happening over on Facebook, right?
Yeah, actually all that, but MySpace, right?
MySpace, is it?
Based upon the meetup in London, actually, we were talking about ways of marketing, and really great to have one of our postgrads put up a FXPhD site over at or page over at MySpace that you can join. We also have them on Facebook. We also have a LinkedIn group. What's the other one?
I don't think I'm on the LinkedIn group. Am I on the LinkedIn group?
You are so LinkedIn.
Am I?
I think we linked you in without you knowing it.
Oh, okay.
You know, you divulge all your information to those sites, they'll take care of it for you automatically. So that's some stuff going on in the term and so forth. But anyway, again, I'm really excited about the way the new year is starting off. Very much looking forward to it.
I think the whole motion graphics thing is enormous.
Yeah, you know,
for,
I'm digging that.
PhD.
And so, I think Tim's going to be great. Were you able to mention who it was last time? I think I did. I think I might have called him Chapman instead of Clapham, which is stupid. But I was stressed out or something while recording the last podcast. I don't know. But he's got a great, really great company in the UK. Done a lot of great motion graphic design work for Discovery Channel, a lot of Cinema 4D work as well the guy's done, and he's already been posting the forums, and I thought it was great. January 1st, he posted in the forums with his preliminary outline for the course, just asking people to kind of affirm what people would like to see in the course, so I think he's going to be a great addition to the After Effects Professor's Realm along with Mark. Very much looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Well, hey, one thing before, I've got to go here quickly, but one thing before I sign off, we just want to talk about a response to the survey. And if you haven't filled out the survey actually yet this term, once again, in the student news information forum and in a number of emails that I've sent out to everyone, there's a link to the forum or a link to the survey for October 07. And we'd really love for you to take that survey and let us know what you think about the term. It goes a huge amount of the way in both determining what courses we have coming forward and actually what we talk about in our podcasts.
And actually, even though I don't want to preempt it because it isn't closed yet, I should just point out that at the moment, I think it's Victor who's running number one in professor approval ratings.
Woo,
so if you
Victor.
Want somebody else to win, you should get out and vote for them right now.
Exactly.
Vote for me.
Yeah.
Oh, me.
Yeah, go on. And Victor's puppet,
what
Mike.
Say?
Sorry. You work.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to do those. I think actually you deserve a lot of credit for that too. You deserve credit for it too. Some credit.
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
But actually, one of the posts was, and Mike and I like joking about the stuff we're doing and talking about the stuff we're doing. And I personally try not to too much talk about how hard we're working and stuff. And I just want to say that I just want to reiterate that this. Basically, 95% to 100% of the stuff we do moving and working is targeted towards making FX PhD better. You know, we joke about me flying off to London for the weekend for a pub meetup, which I got to say was fun. I mean, it was enjoyable to meet everyone, but I got a lot out of that trip. I mean, it is a business trip. For instance, we talked about it. We got the FX PhD
thing
on MySpace.
You did it on frequent flyer miles, right?
Wasn't yeah, I did it on frequent flyer miles. Yes.
Flying first class, basically.
Yes. No, you know what? I did
good
it.
Good enrollment.
Yeah. $300 I did it, flying at the weird time of year. Yeah, is actually right. And so it's like I'm not, you know, we're not jetting off to far corners of the world. And it was a two-day friggin' trip to London. I mean, I was exhausted by the time I got back.
I think the thing is, it's, you know, it's hard when you're listening to us talking, right?
Yeah.
It's like... And part of it is we want to communicate is that we're doing really – I mean, we can't obviously pull together the amazing deals we do and get the professors and even just get the material we get without doing a certain amount of travel, right, obviously, because this ain't going to happen. You can't sit in your bedroom and, you know, pretend to know what's going on at these places unless you go visit them and talk to them and, you know, do some contact hours. That's just –
Yeah, finding out from the postgrads, getting feedback directly from them, kind of affirming some of our courses. We actually made a change in one of our courses based upon that meeting, just in thinking about it and raising issues we hadn't thought about. So from our standpoint at FXPHD, that kind of thing is incredibly useful. And it really is a lot of work. I mean, it was a tiring trip. I loved it. I had a fun. But it's not just this big, giant party that we're doing all the time. You know, likewise, heading out to Colorado for the mountains for 2 weeks. You know, check my forum posts. I think I posted on Christmas, which is pathetically sad, I must
say.
Well,
no, I think it's here's the thing, right? Like, what I think people don't necessarily go for is I'm too busy to be able to respond to you. I'm too busy having a glamorous life to be able to provide PhD with what is needed, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case, because I don't think that... I mean, we just, like, this week turned down a trip to the south of France, effectively. Yeah. I was being more being more cryptic. But it was because it didn't have any value to PhD. And while it had been really brilliant, right, it just, you know, it would have been like a holiday. We were like, well, we can't. There's no value to PhD in that. But I don't think most people actually have a problem, John.
I don't think that either. But I just think that if they're, you know, again, I think the feedback's fine. It can sound that way. I mean, listening to it, I could understand that. But again, I think from my standpoint, it's just a flag to myself to be a little clearer and making sure we mention that the reason that we're doing this stuff is to make FX PhD better. And it's not just going around, you know, chatting around.
Well, the other thing is, some of this stuff is actually FX guide related, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for example, you know, if we we're at NAB for FX guide, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know,
and why is that? Because we get a bunch of referrals about PhD. It's a good way for us to discuss FX PhD, right?
Yeah, and you got to, you know, keep up with stuff. So I don't think people have a problem with it. Actually, I really don't. I think there's a problem people would have, as I said, if it's like, well, I'm having this really glamorous life and I'm too busy to, you know, do my class this week because I'm off, you know, doing whatever. But there's a party happening next door here. I don't know why.
So you're going to head over. Speaking of, over and join it. No.
Yeah. It's
no, again, my feeling is just to be clear and make sure it's clear. And again, I don't feel most people have problems, but even if there are, you know, several who do, just be clear that, again, we're trying to make FX PhD better. And I think we are over time. I think the results of the survey and the response from postgrads and so forth has been outstanding. So it's actually very reassuring.
Oh, I think the other thing is just being transparent, right? Like,
yeah.
We really have tried cranking up the transparency, which, to tell you the truth, I think is just a modern trend in companies, right? Is to not be hierarchical and dictatorial and say, you know, we will tell you when we have our plans at a point that we're able to present them, and we'll tell you nothing before then. You know,
I think our problems, I would say, and it's known that we've had problems delivering the smoke course, and we're still going to do it in the long term. But again, we're going out and calling each and every person who's registered for the smoke course to let them know what our plans are. And we've tried to be as open as possible and letting people know. And I think people have been cool. In fact, I got an email today. It was a great timing because I got the email from someone and had his phone number on the bottom. I'm like, oh, I'll just call him. And within 5 minutes of receiving the email, I'm like, ask for the person. And I say, hey, this is John from FXPHD. And he just starts laughing. And he's like, what? Yeah, no, I just want to let you know, check in with the smoke course and let you know what's going on. So again, I think you're right. We at least try and be very open and honest with everybody and transparent, as Mike said. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a non-profit. We've never claimed we're a non-profit. We're trying to be a successful company, but we're trying not to be exploitative, right?
Yeah.
We've never claimed that we're altruistic and doing this because we're... I mean, somebody once from a rival company declared that they thought we were just uber rich guys mucking around, right? Like, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah.
That we have some kind of, you know, was it, what are those things? Trust fund, right?
Trust fund, yes, that was the word. Yeah, that was the word.
Yeah. Worked hard for friggin' decades and, you know, achieved a degree of success and wanted to do this. So, yeah, but I don't know that. I don't know that if you thought that way, you'd even be listening to this podcast.
No,
right? I think the people that listen to this podcast totally.
Well, apparently a couple of people. Yeah, apparently, yeah. The one response we did does listen to the podcast. So again, that's what I thought.
But I
again,
don't even think he was like that angry. I think
no,
he was
no,
just,
no, he's not. I just think not at all. I think it's just all mentioning. I think it's worth mentioning and a part of the transparency thing. I mean, we just want to be open and it deserves mentioning once. I mean, just like the Torrent thing, we don't think people at FXPhD steal. There's one or two people do and just deserves mentioning every once in a while. So that's where it fits in.
Well, I think
book.
That's absolutely true. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's, yeah, no, absolutely. I completely understand.
Frame of reference is all. And we've wasted enough time probably on it already, I guess. Though it's been enjoyable.
I gotta go.
Me too. Me too, my friend. I'm going to try and blow this popsicle stand tomorrow.
So. A slightly less enthusiastic and perky DOD from us this week, but hey.
I thought it was up to the... Actually, you know what? I feel good about it. It doesn't always have to be on 11, and if you'll have a positive feeling about. So, it's good.
I tell you what, though. The response rates alone, just full-on statistical response rates for things like the surveys is so heartening. The fact that so many people do take time to give us input.
Totally.
It's a cracker, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're very cool on that, I must say. I was quite taken aback at the level of responses that we've had from people.
And how well thought out the responses were. So.
Yeah, totally. People like don't just plow through them. They like carefully write stuff up. And I think, you know, that reflects their commitment to us. So thank you for that.
Thanks for that. And again, thanks for being part of FX PhD. And until next week, have a great week, and we'll see you...
I'm going to go join that party next door.
Yeah, have fun.
Okay. Bye. See you, man.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.